Now it's time for our hosts to begin their presentation. Padre, Renee, Ryan, you with us?
I am.
I'm here.
I'm here.
Hey. All right.
Thank you, Susan.
Yes, thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Beautiful prayers.
Thank you.
I guess the three amigos are ready to go, right? I guess we are. Yes. Well,
yes.
Welcome everyone to this second in a series of three on entering through the narrow gate. And I hope everybody's done their homework. Remember last week I gave you homework and I'm going to test you on it today. So if not, get going. You have about a minute to finish it. So, but just want to say welcome. And I look forward to Renee's presentation. And next week we have Ryan Rigoli to finish our series on Be Broken, which I can't wait to hear. So I'm glad you're tuning in tonight with us. And it's going to be a great evening. So let me start with prayer. I think we'll just open up, and Susan has done a great job of leading us to that place. But as we now put our hearts towards the one that loves us, that created us, God, Jesus, for me, we just allow that grace now to surround us. I'd like to lead with a Psalm 91, at least in the beginning. It says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foul snares, the traps of the day, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And for all those who are from California, I know you're dealing with fires. So He who dwells in the sacred place, He will shelter us. Those who are going through a hurricane or storms like we did last week, there's the safety in knowing that God is our source. God is the one who will shelter us, protect us. So as we enter in to this narrow gate tonight, I ask the Holy Spirit to allow us to reconcile our differences, but also put us on a path to wholeness. Let your loving arms wrap your arms around each of us tonight. Father, just release your ministering angels to fill our sanctuary, our bodies, our temples, but also the atmosphere in our rooms, but in also in our homes and our relationships. Let your will be done in every area of our lives. And wherever we go wandering, bring us back to that center place, which is your heart with your wisdom. As we allow grace now to overtake us and let the abundance of favor of God bless each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to ask Ryan, how are you prepared for tonight? You're ready to go?
Oh, me first? Sure.
I'm saying hello and yeah. So
cool. I'm ready, particularly after that prayer.
Yeah. Well,
thank you. It's like, it's been a great prayer, but even in your preparation for this week, a good week?
Yeah, there's been, given everything going on right now with the fires and everything else, prayer life becomes more and more important to me. So a call like this and many other calls that I'm a part of are the centerpiece.
Wow.
And that keeps things going and it supports a lot of people.
Wow. Yeah. And you do a great job of that. Just spreading your wings, so to speak, but being a voice for those who have heavy hearts or lungs that need to be healed because of the smoke. So we pray for all of you all around the United States and the world. But Renee, are you prepared for tonight? This is your big debut.
Yes, I am prepared. I've spent the week focused on the present moment and holding people in prayer as we are hearing about the needs, those that are having to evacuate and leave their homes, and holding them in prayer and holding them in this moment of grace and sending them prayers of support and healing.
I agree with that. That's, what we're called to do as monks.
Yeah.
Or as an individual, it doesn't matter because, again, it's first communion with God, but then God, the Holy Spirit would also put that on our hearts to pray for those who are in need. And there are a lot of people in need. So I appreciate all of your combined prayers, and we will pray also at the end of this program. I have a testimony before I ask Renee to begin. Remember last week there was a homework? How many remember their homework? Raise your hand. Oh, God. I must not get a good job. I'll help you remember. I says, be aware of the Holy Spirit who's going to ask you to do something. So obviously nobody listened to the Holy Spirit because nobody raised your hand. Well, there was one person who did, and they shared this story with me, testimony. They heard my story last week about, can't even think of the right word. I'm going to say Greco, but it's not that. Anyway, the storm that came through with 91 miles an hour winds here in Illinois. And I lost power, lost a couple trees, and there was a lot of work to be done, kind of wore out my body doing that. And I heard this on my testimony, and they said during prayer, they heard the Holy Spirit tell them to buy the Padre a generator for my house. And I thought, oh my God, I guess you did hear, because I don't have a generator. So it was, to me, there's the favor of God. There's the love of God. God can meet our needs, even though we're not even looking for it. And this person said, well, get a big one that serves the whole house, not just a little outlet. I go, well, that costs a lot of money. They go, Padre, the Holy Spirit asked me to do this. And it's like, wow. So what has the Holy Spirit asked you to do? Not necessarily for me, but the people around you. Because she's been talking. I'm just trying to give you a listening ear to pay attention. So that I'm grateful for the blessing, the gift God has given me, but God has given you gifts to give away. So I don't know if Renee's got some homework for you, but hey, Renee, what prevents you from entering into that gate? Can you share with us tonight? I'm looking forward to your talk.
Yeah, I have been thinking about the giants because I thought the homework assignment was to look at our giants. You know, and inviting God into helping us with our giants.
Yes.
And I've been really aware that my giant that I've been working on is to be fully show up, be fully present. Mm. So here I am. But that has been my giant, is to really look at how do I show up? How do I show up fully for the Holy Spirit and sure. be fully present?
I love that. You know, you have an outline. I just know that people are with bated breath to hear what you have to say tonight. So I'm turning that over to you, Renee.
Oh, thank you, Padre Paul. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So my theme for this evening is titled Still Circling. So tonight, what we will do is take a deeper dive into where are we still circling with our giants? Can we face our giants? We also want to look at what does, just like Padre Paul just said a moment ago, what gets in the way of us circling, or what gets in the way of us entering into the narrow gate, or at least coming up to the narrow gate. So tonight we are going to enter into the desert of the Old Testament, and we're going to enter into the desert of the New Testament as our way in to look at what gets in the way of us entering into the narrow gate or the promised land. So at this time, I'd like to open with a song of devotion to honor all of those that have entered through the narrow gate, who have entered into the promised land in search of freedom. And so with that, I'd like us to hear the song of devotion. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. So tonight we begin our journey into the Old Testament. And we reflect upon the journey of the Hebrew people when they were freed from slavery in Egypt. And they made their way towards freedom, towards the promised land. And this is a land that their journey had so many twists and turns. So many roadblocks, dead ends. They found themselves having to bump up against many things and had to detour around or had to go around. All the while, God is protecting his people that had just been freed. And as I was reflecting on our talk for this evening about still circling, I was thinking about, first of all, that they had left this land where they had been enslaved for many generations, and they were entering into a freedom. And I was thinking how they probably did not know what this freedom would look like. They didn't know what the promised land, what they saw before them was the vastness, this desert, the rocks, this lifeless ground. And here they were promised freedom. And so as I was reflecting on this, I also was reminded that oftentimes as they were traveling, they could not see in this vastness of the desert, they could not see the hand of God in every step of the way. And often as they were traveling, as I was reading and rereading the story of their travels, oftentimes they were hungry, they were thirsty, they had lost their way. Some of them thought that they were lost. And oftentimes they would say to Moses in Exodus, they would say to Moses and Aaron, "Why did we leave Egypt? Why did you bring us here into this desert?" And so they themselves had lost kind of what was that freedom that they were looking for? What was this promised land? And they were starting to lose sight of what their freedom was. They couldn't believe in the promise that God was there for them, that God was with them every step of the way, because this was a journey that came with following the will of God, as well as following the path that God had laid out for them. And as I was thinking about this, how they oftentimes wanted to go back to what once was. They wanted to go back to Egypt, where at least they had food, they had shelter, it was a very predictable, it was safe, it was comfortable. And I was reflecting on how that is a time that we're in right now with the virus, with the pandemic, where things are uncertain. Things are no longer familiar. And how often have we heard friends or family talk about wanting to go back to the desert or wanting to go back to what was safe, what was familiar? And I think that's been a huge part of what we're seeing or what we're experiencing right now. Like the Israelites, we too want to go back to what once was. We want to have our kids go back to school. We want to go back to having families, family vacations, being able to travel. And instead, we're being asked to be prepared to maybe stay at home longer, or we're asked to wear a mask outside. So we too have lost what is familiar, and we're entering into this time of transition, much like the Israelites did. So one of the things that in thinking about this and preparing, that they at times, as they were in this place of the desert, they had lost sight of how God was with them every step of the way. And God provided for them in their darkest moments when they were tired, they were thirsty, they were hungry, they were exhausted from their travels. God was with them. He provided manna from heaven every day until they reached the promised land. He provided quail, additional nourishment in addition to the manna. He would shift the winds where they were in need of more protein or more nourishment. God would shift the winds and provide birds for them. God also, when they were thirsty in the middle of the desert, he provided water that came from the rocks. And he also provided a way for them to know when it was okay to travel. He provided a cloud, a pillar of cloud and a fire, a pillar of fire that would guide them, and it would tell them where to go, when to prepare to leave, to go to the next camp. So God was there for them in this desert, in this journey. And I was thinking about this in terms of this, what you have before you, this is God's worksite. Whether we enter into this wilderness We physically go there and enter into it, or we enter into our heart space. We enter into that inner desert, knowing that this is God's workspace. This is the space that God chooses to teach us about surrendering and to teach us about the mystery, entering into the unknown. And for this, we are grateful. All of us, at some time in our life, will embark on this journey to go into the desert, to go into and hear the whisper, to hear the voice of God. We all must enter at one time in our life. And some of us on this call have already entered the desert, or maybe you're on this call and you're being called to go within, to go into this desert. But at some point, we are all called to go within. And like the Israelites, we may find ourselves bumping up against detours, distractions, roadblocks, but we all must continue on this journey inward. I know for myself, I went through a personal crisis. I would call it a crisis of faith, and I also had a health crisis that was going on at the same time. And I started asking the questions, is this all there is? There has to be more. Why have I come here at this time? Why me? What's going on at this time in this moment? But the big question really was, is this all there is? I found myself in a roundabout way. I ended up at a healing service that Ron Roth was doing. He was doing it at a small bookstore called Transitions. And as he was doing this healing service, there was something about his voice. There was something that he carried, a presence that when he prayed for me, I knew I was being prayed for. Something had shifted. And so I found myself at my first retreat in 2003. It was in Arizona. And some of you on this call may have been there with me. And I found myself there. And after the first night of the retreat, I realized I wanted to go home after that first night. So Padre, I don't know if you knew that, but I wanted to go home after that first night. And God worked his miracle, and he sent me three angels that he put in my path. He allowed me to share with my heart what I was thinking, what I was feeling about being there. I think in that moment, as I remember sharing with them, I was afraid of how my life would look if I stopped circling, if I stood in my truth and I faced my giants at that time. And I did. I ended up staying at that time it was a 5-day retreat, and I ended up staying. And in that moment, I had to surrender that my life was going to be reordered. It was no longer my will, but it was God's will. And each of us, as we enter into the desert, that is the ultimate question. Can I surrender to God's will versus mine? So my question for Padre Paul and Ryan, could you share with us a time when you were circling in your life? And what did that look like for you?
I think I'm still circling. I think I need some manna from heaven to help me with that one. But I remember a time when I first met Ron Roth, and he decided he was going to take a sabbatical as a priest and go out to California and invited me to go with him. And I remember weighing it. Should I not? It was one of those aha moments where I had to listen. And I remember there were three stages for me. It was like, well, I could, and maybe, and then I think I can. But it was all based on the peace that I was feeling. And so Ron and I went to California, and actually it lasted about 2 years. We went to California, wow. And every about 4 or 5 months we'd come back, visit family, and then return back. But each time that we returned, we moved in a different place, which meant I had to get a new job every time we went there. And Ron was trying to discern what God was saying for him. And this also applies to me, but I was following him. So after 2 years, the Holy Spirit got his heart and says, it's time to go back to Illinois. And I remember him saying, I'm going back. The Holy Spirit said, go back. And it's like, well, I'm not going. I quit my job. I left my house. And I'm supposed to go to paradise called California. And you're sending me back. But here's the circling. We ended up in a parish that was, and we had healing services every Monday night for 7 years. The first 5 years, God was planning myself to understand ministry and being in a parish, a community of serving those who have need. But Ron got an invitation then to go to California to speak at the Catholic Charismatic Conference. And I think Barbara Rose was there, if I'm not mistaken. And the invitation came by God, not because Ron wanted to go because he thought, well, I'll just reestablish myself there in California. We tried, we planted some things, but the seed fell on hard ground. It didn't grow. It was only until with that 5-year period of for us to be humble, surrender, let go, that the invitation came. And from that experience, Ron became famous. He ended up being at the Charismatic Conference, and there were 12, I just saw a picture today, and on the back of it had, there were 12,000 people there with 1,200 people trying to get in. And so that circling, it can be us wandering, or we can be led by the Spirit, which it was destiny for Ron and for myself. And from there, we have Celebrating Life as it is today. So, but that circling, but it was a hard piece, at least for me, because I had to keep surrendering. I thought I was going to have success in California the first time around. Yeah. And then to ask to go back to be humble pie, you know, I kind of talk, you know, I like California is this and that. And now I have to go back to Illinois, back to my roots. But God changed that heart. So that's, and I just love how you're presenting this, Renee, because your authenticity, the quarantine, everything leading to this wandering that we're going through. So I just appreciate where you're going tonight with this talk.
Yeah. I mean, I still wander, but for me, celebrating life, really, I felt the circling halted for me. After I finished that first retreat, it was, my life was changed and I knew that my life was going to be reordered. Do I still have times that I circle? Yes. But there was something about this ministry that spoke to my heart. It really put me on that path to getting to know my heart.
Beautiful.
So thank you. Thank you, Padre, for all that you do. Brother Ryan, can you share with us a time in your life when you were circling or you're still circling?
Still
or whatever. Still am.
Yeah. Well, Padre's laughing. Mine, one thing I'll share is about relationship and a particular life partner, but you can translate this to whatever works for you as you're hearing what I want to share, what I'm being asked to share. And I'll just bring up a picture of a desert here just to start out. So I found that for many years I was circling about trying to find a life partner. And I'll emphasize that word trying. And when I got into a relationship with Miriam, I was circling still in my mind. And both experiences, not being in a partnership and being in one, I realized, for one, how many expectations I had of the way relationship should be, what it should look like, what the person should be like, what I should be like. I was not putting the God within me as the first priority. I was going from old patterns of how I can, what I should believe or think or behave, the way this should all pan out. And because of that, I stayed circling for many years, even in relationship with Miriam too. And it came to a point where I really had to look deeply at the truth within myself, because I was the common denominator across all my relationships. And I kept hitting a wall, wanting to escape them, even wanting to escape this one for years, and wanting to go back to Egypt, let's say, right? Back to what I thought was, you know, simplicity or peace and getting out of something. And it really hit me through a lot of work and a lot of Bishop Dana and Bobby helping and these retreats that God needed to be the center of my life. And what I realized, one of the many things I realized, was I needed to understand myself and my purpose here on this planet and be at a certain level of embodiment, a certain level of presence within me to let myself surrender to what God's will was in relationship and not expect the way someone else should be, not expect an outcome, not expect the way this should all unfold. Just like Padre said, he was expecting me in California. I was expecting a relationship to look like lots of kids maybe, or a white picket fence, or all these things. And what I realized is like, oh, I'm here. I have a particular purpose here. And when I really, and God wants me to do something here. And when I really embrace that and let go of what I thought I should be doing on this planet, my relationship with Miriam, frankly, all my relationships, went from this little flower to this bigger flower.
Wow.
And although I'm still circling many times, but I know it's kind of the questions are no longer, am I in the right relationship? Where's my connection with God? It's how much more God can I have? And that was a big shift for me.
Wow. That's beautiful. Well, I think what you both highlight is, on some level, you both reached, even though we have our moments where we're all still circling, but you reached the promised land. You know,
yeah,
you've come up to that gate. Yeah. So here I have an image for all of us that are on this call about the promised land, you know, and what it looks like. And I think, Padre, you're about you circling in California, and Ryan, about your relationships. And I'm trying to answer the questions. We all come to the promised land like the Israelites. They stood on the shore and they received that blessing from Moses, that it was time to let go. It was time to move on. It was time to embrace our experiences of where we've been and where we're going. And I love this image because God does miracles for his people. Every step of the way, the Israelites, he gave them so many miracles to guide them on this journey. And each of us received miracles from the stories that we shared about circling. So now I'd like us, we've been in the desert of the Old Testament, and now we're going to enter the desert of the New Testament. And in the New Testament, we read and we reflect on the story of Jesus when he entered the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And he did this after he was baptized. The Holy Spirit led him into the desert. And it was while he was in the desert that he was tempted three times. He was tempted to turn stones into food because he was hungry. He was tempted then. He was taken to the top of the temple. And Satan had said to him, throw yourself down and the angels will catch you and they will protect you. And the third temptation came as he was taken to the peak of a mountain. And he was told to, you can have all of this. And Satan said, you can have it all if you just bow down to me, if you turn away from God. And what Jesus did and how he responded, he just kept his focus on the presence. He kept his focus on God. And he never wavered from that. And that was the lesson, the great teaching that we have from Jesus, is that he is with us. He is on this journey with us. And when we enter into the desert, and he showed us how to keep our focus on the presence. And with that, every year we enter into the desert with Jesus. During this time of Lent, we are asked to enter those 40 days and nights with Jesus. Symbolically, we enter into the desert. And some of us go more often into the desert to reflect, to ask the hard questions. And usually during Lent, this time, we reflect on the question of, have I surrendered my will to God's will? Or have I had moments where I've turned away and it's been my will, not the divine's will? The other question that we ask ourselves during this time of reflection, when we're in the desert with Jesus, we reflect on, do we really trust? Do we really trust with our whole heart that God is guiding every step of our journey? God is in the small details of our life. And do we reflect on that? And during this time, we enter what many have called the bright sadness. It is this time when we reflect on those moments, we bring awareness of when have we turned away and we have tried to do things our way versus God's way, or the times where we didn't trust that God would be there for us, and we entered into that bright sadness. And out of the bright sadness during this time, God then hears our call. He is there with us in the desert, that inner journey that we're on. And in that moment, we seek and we ask for forgiveness for the times that we've turned away, the times that we try to do things our way. And part of the bright sadness is then we receive that glimmer of light, that glimmer of hope that God is with us, God is for us, and God is always there for us. In all areas of our life, if we just turn things over to Him. And from the bright sadness, we enter into contemplation. And I love this from the Psalms, the book of Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. And I use this psalm in my own practice. After I've come out of the desert and I've reflected, I've asked for forgiveness, I enter this moment of contemplation, and I use this psalm to go into that space of stillness and knowingness. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. It is here in this moment that I experience the peace of God, the peace, Padre, that you talk about, the peace that goes beyond all understanding. Even as I enter into that space sometimes of the unknown, there is a part of me that knows. There's a knowingness that comes from that peace that goes beyond all understanding. So I ask my brothers, Ryan and Padre, what or how do you experience the stillness or that knowingness that comes with contemplation? And I'll start with Brother Ryan. How do you experience stillness? How do you experience that in your life, in your practice?
It's a deep question. Well, it has many flavors for me. It depends on the day. Sometimes I experience it as a being with what is in the moment, even a being with what thoughts are there or emotions are there. And there's a stillness in the midst of all that. It's like the eye of a storm. And there's a peace, even though there's a rumbling. Other times I experience it as a fullness or a presence. There are different qualities, I would say, of God. Mm-hmm. And more I allow myself to receive these different facets of God that allow me to then do the work that, you know, that I'm doing here. So the stillness, in a sense, takes on different flavors. How I move into that, sometimes it just happens, usually not right now. And sometimes, actually, I'll bring this flower up again. Sometimes it's just recognizing in the middle of a desert, a tough time or emptiness, that there is something beautiful. Like my partnership with Miriam, it was just a presence that just started building and expanding and just putting my focus on that. So that can be all parts of my life, not just relationship. And I really spend time praying more and more. And that looks different each day.
Yeah.
But calling in the presence. And if I can't receive the presence, then I look and see what I'm holding against myself. And I ask for forgiveness. That generally gets something unstuck in me. Grace takes over and then the presence comes in.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Padre Paul, how do you experience the stillness, Padre?
I have to say I work at it.
Yeah?
That's an everyday thing for me.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about silence. So normally, if I really go into my prayer time, which is always in the morning and then also at night, that I do shut off the phones, play my music or not, just be in the quiet and listen. But even to shut up, the zip it, is still only one part of it, because my mind still is running what I should do the day, who should I respond to, all those little bitty, you know, wow, 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 that goes on until finally they subside. And then finally I can get to that place. I call it a peace, or to me, stillness. And it's always work. I remember a lot of times when I'm on retreat, you know, especially when I'm going to a healing service, and I think most people know that, I get a little nervous because there's a responsibility of God's ability to perform miracles for people. So I desperately need silence, because I'm trying to hear my lead in. So once I know the lead in, then I can go. But to get to that place, I really need to have silence around me. And when it doesn't happen, then I just have to surrender in that moment and trust God's going to take me there. Because without his guidance, without the Holy Spirit, I can really still circling even in my own prayer time. So, but I also know it shifts. And because of this quarantine, my prayer time shifted, meaning how I access heaven. So it's always a joy, because it's a path, it's a journey home. Mm-hmm. So thank you for asking.
Yeah. I find that the word surrenders come up a lot during our talk tonight, because it really brings forward that ritual of transformation, the entering into the mystical heart, entering into the path with heart. And so before we enter into our healing service, I wanted to share, this is one of my favorite quotes. It says, "Only in stillness do you find your true self." And I love that one, with the bird and the freedom that comes with the stillness and that comes with surrendering our hearts to the divine presence. So in this moment, God is calling us in this time, at this place, God is calling us back to the path of our heart. Padre Paul and Ryan, let us enter into this time of healing, our time of communion with the divine presence.
That song is so beautiful. The words are beautiful.
Surrender
my heart, Lord.
Heart, yeah.
Surrender my life, Lord. You know, these are all qualities of healing.
Yeah.
I was just reliving it in my own world and surrendering at the same moment, because we always turn our gaze towards God. The topic is so right on, Renee, for today. Mm. Whether we're dealing with fires, the pandemic, losing a job, you know, hurricanes, storms, broken relationships, sickness, disease, all of these things, we need God's help, you know, and God is our source for that. Mm-hmm. So for me, I think I'll start with Ryan first, and then I'll also have you, Renee. What would be your prayer request for yourself and then for all those on our call to hear their hearts, that they could say, oh, Ryan heard the Holy Spirit tell me about my prayer that I need. Mm-hmm. The same way with Renee and myself.
Yeah.
So let's put out our prayer request and then offer prayer for our gathering tonight.
I was just looking at a quote from Yogananda. It said, "Love in our heart is the magnet from which God cannot escape."
Whoa.
Love in our heart is the magnet from which God cannot escape. So that's my prayer for myself and everyone tonight on this call. Everyone we know, everyone involved in the fires in all around the world, is that love is the magnet, and truth is a way there. And also, as Yogananda said, we can always have God in our mind, in our heart. God, God, God. Whether we're digging a ditch, planting a garden, washing dishes, God is here, right here. Whether we're in the desert or we're in the fullness of expression in our life, God is right here. God is in the water. God is in the sea. God is in the plants. God is in my heart. And my prayer is that we continue to remember God living in our heart. It's a living God. It's not a dead God, as Hillsong says, but it's a living God that lives in our heart, that breathes in our heart. And let this energy of the heart, the living God in our heart, extend into all parts of our life that we feel are dead or challenged, or whether there's confusion. You know, may this heart energy, may this love, may this truth from God and the Holy Spirit really fill the essence of our being and all parts of our life. And may this be a blessing for us and the world. Amen.
Amen. Wow. That captured my heart, Ryan. I love that prayer. How about you, Renee? Wow.
My prayer and my intention for everyone on this call tonight is to receive this overflow of the living water, that we know, that we know that God is for us. God is with us in all areas of our life, down to that smallest detail. That God is for us. This is a God who is for his children, that he is there always with us, always in this present moment. God is with us when we fall, when we circle. He is always there, ready to receive us, ready to welcome us home into his presence. So my prayer for everyone is to open your heart and receive the blessings that are there for you, waiting. For God is with us. God is waiting for you. Amen.
Amen. I love that. I love God is waiting for our response. The scripture says, if we care for God, God cares for us. And I cherish that every morning, just pouring out my love towards God. And this morning I was reflecting on last week, which kind of was a difficult week for me, for my storms. And this week is nice and peaceful, but God was in each one. God still awaited me. God carried me through, even though it was hard. He made a way, the way maker. And I saw it play itself out, even though it was hard, physically hard and emotionally for my body. It was a struggle, but yet God was faithful. And like he's also faithful to meet me in the silence, you know, and tell him how much he loves you, he loves me. When I was listening to the Holy Spirit of what the theme or for the prayer for tonight is for each of you on the call and for your families, sadness really showed up and highlighted for me. For those who are still circling, still you're disappointed in maybe it's the pandemic, the limitations that still offers. Maybe you can't visit your grandkids. Maybe you can't visit people in the hospital, your loved ones, even if one who's could have COVID, the virus, and you can't visit. You know, there's that separation. You know, for those in the prison, there's limitations of what we can do. And in that environment, we keep circling. It's like, when is it going to be my turn? When can I do this? So we're actually waiting on God in this experience. So I just want to let you know that be still my heart, and that the peace that passes all this, the good shepherd is with you, with your loved ones. Even in, I call it a failed marriage or a partnership or a best friend that maybe moved away. You know, these are all hardships, but yet the Holy Spirit wants to temper them tonight and give you an understanding that the peace that passes all understanding is the gift for you and for those that we're praying for. I also go to the 21 days of prayer, and on the 21 days of prayers, they talked about forgiveness as a tool. And I believe I always have to forgive myself of the lack of maybe understanding, mercy, kindness. And once I receive it, I'm more than willing to give it away. So that part right now, let's open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit to let the Holy Spirit reveal to us our disappointment, our lack that we have. And then the grace of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God that comes. And even in our physical body, our temple, that we can actually be healed and restored. And I just feel that healing vibration, that warmth passing over your body right now, and then entering in. As we let go, as we surrender, the Holy Spirit is here to shepherd us, to draw us near, to bring us healing in all areas of our life. I thank you, God, for putting out the fires. I thank you, God, for the strength and the ability to make things right in our relationships, in our home, in our communities. There's such a light that's here. I just see God just, if he has a finger, I'm sure he does, just touch his tongue and psh, he can put out the fires like that in a moment. And these are happening all over the United States. I thank you, God, for calming the winds so everything can be in divine order, divine light. I thank you, God, for bringing a fresh breath air that cleans the air, that so all the elements of the smoke just dissipates. And be still and know I am God, the scripture says. So even in the stirring of the sea where the hurricanes come, he can still the sea with one moment, with one pause, one breath. But he can also place you and I in the shelter of the Almighty, in his bosom, that says, you're my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. So I bless everyone's health through the name of Jesus. All disease dissolve. All pain leave now. All stress, body heal, body restore. I command the backs to realign now, the lower back. Thank you, O Lord our God, for that deliverance. The stress in the neck area, I just allow a massage from the Holy Spirit, from the angels now, just to begin their work on you, just de-stressing you and allowing God's peace, God's grace to be filled to overflowing. Thank you, God, for your living word made flesh tonight and dwelt among us. Father, bring the entities of light. Let them do their surgery on each of us as we sleep tonight, knowing that as we refresh in the morning, the peace that passes all understanding, the sun shine, the sun of peace will show up and we will be blessed. So will our country, so will our communities, so will this community. So I bless each of you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Renee, thank you so much for your beautiful circling. I love that. You're a gem. And Ryan, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. And for you, our participants, for showing up,
thank you,
praying with us and being with us. We look forward to next week as Ryan shares with us how to be broken. Go figure. We'll see you next week. God bless
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Beautiful, Renee.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Awesome. You rock, my friend. It's a good thing.